Part of the reason we did this show is for people just to begin to understand the importance of having a method, right?
Yeah.
And having a way of doing it. Because like so many things in life, if you have a way of doing it that's sensible, you know, you can get a much better result. And so as we dig into this, hopefully that's helpful.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Well, welcome into the Retirement Cafe. Take a seat. We're going to talk about retirement income planning. Yeah, retirement income planning. You might not be aware of it. You might not have one. Hopefully you do. Maybe you're someone that has a comprehensive plan and you're just looking to learn more about retirement planning as a whole. But for those that aren't as sure about it and don't know if you have one or not, today is going to be a good episode for you. I'm looking forward to talking with Dan and Brent about that today on the show. Guys, how you doing?
Great. Good. How are you?
Doing well. How's everything in the office?
Busy, which is, you know, which is good, right?
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
As tax season, you know, winds down, that's when we're recording this episode. Are you guys busier during tax season? Does it affect you guys much at all?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of communication back and forth with CPAs, and it's busy, you know, making sure everybody's got the right information.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely picks up at this time, but we stay pretty consistently busy throughout the year.
Very good.
I would say it's more like, it's not like a CPA's office where they're just slammed
right
at this time, but we definitely have some extra work at this time.
Yeah, I think honestly, the only time it slows down a little is when it's really nice, because Michigan has so few of those really nice weeks. So like a lot of people are vacationing and doing different things like that, which is pretty good for everybody because it gives us a chance to do some of that too.
Yeah, it's a great time of the year, weather-wise, for sure. So hopefully you get to enjoy it some, but maybe you're listening to this podcast while you're out and about. That'd be great. But if not, you can find everything online at everywealth.com. If you missed some past episodes, want to go back and listen to some of the previous Retirement Cafes, they're all up there on the website. Plus, you can also get a lot of the resources, including your college report. You can start that free college money report as well. There's links on the website for all of that. Again, everywealth.com. Today's conversation, why you need a retirement income plan. You know, as a family approach to retirement, there are so many decisions that you have to make. I want to talk a little bit about this retirement income plan, why you want to have it. And, you know, I think before we even get started with the conversation, you know, it's always good to kind of set the stage with what exactly we're talking about. So just to kind of clear up any confusion, what is a retirement income plan?
This is a great question because I don't think a lot of people know, even people that are approaching retirement just don't know, but it's just a year-by-year plan for where your income is going to come from, basically, is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the easiest way to understand it because most people have multiple resources, and we'll get into all that throughout the show, but like having a good understanding or a plan of how to attack it and how to maximize things is super important, as you'll find out as we talk through this topic.
Yeah, and we see this quite a bit. Dan and I were talking about it before the show today, how sometimes when you just show people where their income's going to come from, like a light bulb goes off. It's like, oh, I get it, you know, because it's hard to kind of flip the switch and go from accumulating your wealth and saving to turn around, okay, now I need to use my resources. And so this is just a, you know, year by year trying to figure out what you're going to need, when you're going to need it, where it's going to come from.
Very good. Well, that's going to be some great information we'll have today. But I'm kind of curious, is this something new? Because I don't really remember my parents talking about it a whole lot. I mean, is this a different concept than what our parents and grandparents were used to?
I think it definitely is, because when you look back, you know, for example, my mom and dad have been retired, gosh, pushing 25, 27 years. And back then, it really wasn't that much of a discussion. What most people did is they just looked at, they had a pension, they had Social Security, and they said, okay, what's that total? Can we retire?
Right.
Right. That was
right.
It.
Yeah. And now you just have so much more to think about, you know, all your, really a lot of, like in Dan's parents' generation, they 401ks, they weren't saving for it. Their pension was their savings, right? Their Social Security. So you start looking at other savings buckets that you have to look at now, and it just changes the ballgame.
Yeah. I mean, I think most people, they just, 401ks weren't that prominent. You know, there were people that had them, but I don't know how aggressively they were used because you just didn't see big balances in those accounts, right? So they really weren't a big issue to manage. You know, the more of an asset it is, like many people have today, the more you have to manage it. And that all plays into this retirement income planning. But in the past, I mean, the other thing that was huge is that Social Security wasn't as big of a decision. You know, there wasn't as big a penalties if you took it earlier, sometimes right. not at all, depending on your age. And there weren't all the choices that yeah. exist today. So I think that's another thing that was so different, where you really just didn't need much of an income plan.
Yeah, and you might not have been planning for as long of a period of time either, right? So people weren't expected to live as long maybe back in the past as they are now. So when you're making these decisions, they're really important for the long-term success of your plan, to make sure you don't run out of money.
Yeah, without any question. I think the other big thing that's so different today, many of the people in the past didn't really have taxes to worry about in retirement. It wasn't, it just really wasn't a big discussion. When they had their pension, Social Security, it was pretty easy. It just really wasn't this big tax time bomb sitting out there, right?
Right, and it's just forced, right? I mean, which is a good thing. I mean, pensions are great, and Social Security is great, but it's just, that's income you're going to get, and guess what? You're going to pay tax, and that's just kind of how it went. But there weren't a whole lot of choices or things that you could do to impact your tax situation yeah. as there is today.
Yeah, and I mean, nowadays, if you don't plan appropriately, we've seen it multiple times. You can have a major tax time bomb out there in the future. And so part of the reason we did this show is for people just to begin to understand the importance of having a method, right? Yeah. And having a way of doing it. Because like so many things in life, if you have a way of doing it that's sensible, you know, you can get a much better result. And so as we dig into this, hopefully that's helpful.
Well, let's dig into it, because it seems like there are a lot of moving parts. I mean, you know, as you said kind of previously, you had a couple different methods of your income, but now it seems like, one, there's a lot more opportunity to have different revenue or income sources, but it also can be challenging because you got to piece all that stuff together. So what factors should we be considering when we're putting together an income plan?
Yeah, I think the biggest first thing is figuring out what you need. And, yeah. and that is probably one of the most challenging things. And so I think people kind of quickly figure out, yeah, we need maybe $5,000 a month, right? It's yeah. kind of a simplistic calculation from a standpoint. It's just ballparking it, right? They don't necessarily think of things like, you know, in 5 years, we need to put a new roof on our house, right? Right. Or vacation.
Or I'm going to travel, yeah, is what I was going to say. Or these, you know, a car, different things that come up that you have to spend money on.
Yeah, and I mean, there could be other things that you want to spend money on, like, hey, in 8 years, my grandchild starts college and I want to contribute to that. Like, so there's all these different things that different families prioritize. And a big one that can differentiate is how much charitable giving is important, because that can have a major impact, right?
Yeah.
On how you do that. But there's a lot of different things that you have to understand to begin with, is how much you want to spend, how you want to spend it.
And when.
When right. is when. A key thing, right?
So, yeah, how much you want, when you're going to need that money is so that we're just starting to build. I mean, this is just a budget, right? But it's a long budget. It's going to go through the rest of your life. And we want to do the best we can. Obviously, we don't have all the variables, but we can guess pretty well what it's going to be moving forward.
Yeah, like I think my favorite view of that is kind of like a timeline where it shows a year by year. And you start looking at it over time, you're like, whoa, what did we have that year again? Oh, we had to buy a new car.
Right.
Or what do we have that year? Hey, we wanted to give to that student's college, you know, or whatever it might be. And again, Brent mentioned earlier about visually seeing things like on a retirement income plan, where your income comes from, you know, from the different sources. Yeah. This is the other side of that equation. What spending or what needs do you have over time, and how does that look? So you can begin to put together strategies that really fit when and how you need that money, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm kind of curious, I bet people are asking, you know, kind of, where do I start with this? Because I don't really have a complete grasp of where my income might come from. So maybe kind of give them an idea, somebody that's listening that isn't quite clear on where their income's coming from. Kind of share maybe, you know, when you initially meet with families, is there like a particular way that most of those families are generating the income that they need?
Yeah, and I think, Brent, you want to take a step back and go through some of the sources,
too. Yeah, so like when we talk about, first of all, with the retirement income plan, we need to understand what we need, and then we need to take inventory of what resources do we have that are going to help us pay for those things, right? So we have Social Security, we talked about pensions, we have retirement accounts, other types of savings accounts, maybe a rental income. I mean, you just want to think of all the different sources of income that you would have available to you.
Yeah, to fill in those needs, right? Roth IRAs. And then the second big piece of that is, what's the tax implications of using them, right?
Yeah.
Because you got to understand that, because that's the second big piece of that income plan, is not only what do you need, where is it coming from, or what are your sources, and then what are the tax implications year by year and over the course of your lifetime to figure that out, right? And then the second big piece, Ben, which you were just getting at, is, you know, what do families typically do? Well, there's a default, isn't there?
Either, well, I mean, I don't want to make blanket statements,
right,
but
right.
There is a certain way that I think a lot of people do. And I think it goes back to what we talked about at the beginning, is it just starts with Social Security.
Yeah.
Right. So a lot of families start and say, okay, regardless of what year they're going to, if they retire at 62 or later, they think, okay, well, if I turn on my Social Security right now, this is what I'm going to get. So that fills in part of the income. Then I have some after-tax savings, like savings accounts and things like that, that I can use. And then they usually will go to their retirement accounts after that. Is that what you
Yeah,
see?
And I mean, I think that's a prime example of really not understanding, like back to what we just said, looking at inventory of all your sources. And then really the second piece of that is understanding the options for each of those resources. So I think a lot of people when they retire, and I've talked to hundreds of families through the years, many families think, oh, don't I have to start? Like they literally think I have to start my Social Security when I retire, which seems, you know, oh, I don't? You know, it's kind of like, no, you don't. You could put that off and you could use retirement savings first and let that grow. You know, there's all different options, but understanding what you can do with those is important. But I think that's right why so many people think, hey, I retired, so I'm going to create my income through my Social Security. And then generally speaking, filling in the gaps with any regular savings I have up until I run out of that and then going to my retirement savings. Well, what's wrong with that, though?
Well, that's, I mean, we talked about tax efficiency, and that is the opposite of tax efficiency, right? Because you're turning on your Social Security, it's going to be a reduced benefit because you're likely doing it earlier than you needed to in a lot of cases. And then you're not taking any money out of those retirement accounts that we know we have to take money out once we reach 72 years of age.
Right.
Right. And so, which creates taxes down the road. And so instead of paying just a little bit of tax each year, it kind of puts off and you don't pay any tax initially. And then at 72, guess what? I have to pay all these taxes on all this money.
That tax time bomb. And that's kind of what we mentioned earlier. Really understanding the tax side of things, like every one of those resources has different impacts on your tax return. So like really understanding that, because most people kind of understand, like just take, say, a standard deduction for a married couple, say 25 grand, right? So you get 25 grand free, and then over and above that, it starts at 10% and then 12, and it moves up as you have more income, your rate increases. Well, the biggest mistake, or one of the biggest mistakes families can make in early years of retirement, is they miss the free dollars or the very low tax dollars. They don't fill those buckets up, if you will. So then they get down the road and then they're pushed into these higher tax rates. And so they've got dollars hitting into those higher tax rates, and it just doesn't end well, right?
Yeah. So like what you're saying is just that, say somebody retires at 62 and they have very low income because all they have is Social Security and then some after-tax savings. The 10% tax bracket doesn't even get filled. So they could have taken, instead of using the after-tax savings, they could have taken some money out of retirement accounts and paid only 10%. But by waiting until 72, they may be paying 22% on that money.
Yeah, and they may even be able to get some of that for free with no taxes.
Right.
Because of the standard deduction. And that's really understanding that. And by the way, just so you know, this stuff's complicated with the tax stuff. Brent and I have this really great software we use where we actually can model it. And it shows us, hey, if you do this, this is how much total tax you're going to get. So just so you know, as a listener, it is really complicated when you build out that retirement income plan. And so that's why it's so important you understand how all these things work together to make sure you're maximizing your own situation.
Well, there's clearly a lot that goes into a retirement income plan. But how much does it actually make a difference in someone's situation, in someone's retirement? Is it a pretty significant deal having an income plan versus not having one?
I love that question.
Yes.
Because it is, I mean, it is interesting because for some people, it's unbelievable the difference it makes.
Yeah. And so we actually created a case study for this today just because we wanted to illustrate how big of a difference that this can make. And so keep in mind, the information that we're given here, this doesn't mean that because it works for the family we're talking about right now that it's going to work in your situation. Everybody is different when it comes to this. And so we need to make sure that when we're making our own income plan, that it's based on the things that we already talked about, what income we want, when we need it, and all those types of things. But we created this case study. So Mark and Judy, they're 60 years old and they want to retire in a couple of years. They have no debt. Okay. They need about $70,000 a year plus healthcare. So Dan, why do we separate those two things out?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really important to just talk about for a moment on talking about your retirement income plan. Healthcare tends to grow much quicker, you know, in cost than your average expenses, right? So if you don't split that out, what happens is that it starts taking up a bigger and bigger share of your bucketed expenses, if you will. So if you just said instead, let's say your healthcare was 10 grand, I'm just using easy numbers. So you had 70,000 in this case for regular expenses, another 10 for healthcare. If you just lumped it all together and put in 80, it would be misleading and not accurate, right?
Right, because that 10,000 for healthcare is inflating way faster than the other 70.
Yep.
And so it'd probably look really good,
yeah,
you know, like
yeah,
the plan would, but it wouldn't be very realistic.
Right.
Both Mark and Judy worked their full career. He has about $34,000 in Social Security benefits at his full retirement age, and Judy would have about $29,000. They have $850,000 in retirement accounts, pre-tax retirement accounts. They have $250,000 in after-tax savings, and they're a balanced investor, so they have 60% in stock and 40% in bonds. So this is a couple that's done a really good job of saving, right? They have a little over $1 million. And so we ran some scenarios to kind of give you a picture of how planning can work.
Yeah, I think it's important too. I know we use the term a lot. I just want to make sure everybody's clear. So I think most people are clear on retirement accounts, like your 401k, IRAs, things like that. So when we say after-tax savings, generally what we're meaning is like money you have in the bank or money invested maybe in stocks outside of a retirement account or in a brokerage account where you have mutual funds and things. But keep in mind, you've already paid taxes on most of that money outside of unrealized gains. But just so we're clear, make sure everybody's on the same page with that.
With Mark or Judy or really any other client that you're working with, how do you maximize that income plan?
That's what's fun, right?
Yeah, because there's just all kinds of different directions you can go and you're just plugging in different information.
Yeah, I think the big thing with understanding this stuff is that if it wasn't for the technology that exists today, it would be a lot of estimating, right?
Default plans.
Guessing, yeah. Because really what technology's allowed us to do as planners is that we can model different approaches, right? We can take that default approach where people don't pay much tax early on and then pay more later. We can take one where we, you know, maximize like pre-tax distributions early on or do Roth conversions early on and look at all these different things. And with the software we have, we can compare one against the other, right, Brent?
Yeah.
Based on what all different markets, from good to bad to average, right?
And then we just get basically a percentage.
Yeah, that, score, right?
Score. That. So we would run it through all these different scenarios, say they need this much income, these are the resources that they have. The one thing we don't know for sure is what the market's going to do. So we run it through good, bad, and average market cycles and say, what probability of success do they have? So in this case, we ran that through on the default scenario where they retired, took Social Security, used that $250,000 in after-tax savings that Dan was just referring to first, that in what their probability of success was about 52% of the time, if they both lived to life expectancy, they would not run out of money.
That's not great.
That's not
a very warm and fuzzy. I mean, like my brother always says, if you had a 52% of landing safely when you took off in an airplane,
yeah,
how likely would you be to get on that airplane?
That's right. So how likely should Mark and Judy retire if they use the default scenario? They shouldn't.
They were to use that.
Right. And so once we do that, then we start to pull some levers. So I mentioned that, you know, if we can just change them to a globally diversified portfolio, which actually we're going to have an episode coming up soon on that, so you'll be able to catch that, and they maximize their Social Security So when we say maximizing in this case, it's not truly maximizing, but Mark was waiting until 70 and Judy was waiting until 67 to take their Social Security. So remember, they're retiring at 62. So they're choosing to live off of other money between that period, over that period of time. Just changing investments went from 52 to 71%. When they changed Social Security then and their investments, it went to 84% chance.
Which is a pretty good score. And keeping in mind, we could have a whole episode on Monte Carlo and how all that works. We probably should to better understand. But the reality is 84 is a pretty good starting point.
Yeah, because and this is one thing that's really important to understand about with the Monte Carlo simulation that was what we're referring to, is that it's over such a long period of time that if they were heading in that 16% of the time where it wasn't going to work, if they were heading in that direction, we could make a minor change. And I mean, like, maybe they spend a couple hundred dollars a month less,
yeah,
and all of a sudden they're successful. So it's not a huge change here. This that an 84% plan is a pretty good plan.
Yeah, I think it's good that you brought that up because we're talking about income planning and we talk about financial planning and investments all the time, obviously, on this show. But what you just said is such a key thing, is like good planning is continuous.
Right.
So like as you're monitoring how things are going, you're like, you know, that score's dropped a little below where I'm comfortable. You can adjust as you go. It's not like waiting until, oh, now I'm out of money, right?
Right. And it's no different than when you work, right, Dan? I mean, if something happened in your household where your income went down, what would you do? You just tighten up, you know, your belt a little bit, you'd figure way through it. We've all done it.
Right.
At one time or another. It's no different in retirement. There's periods of time where you may have to do that, but hopefully not. But
yeah,
there's probably is going to be a period of time where that could come into play.
Absolutely. It's just life, as they say. So it's really good to understand that is what good planning is. Optimizing your situation and then adjusting as you go to keep in the best position.
Well, it's pretty amazing, like listening to that and kind of hearing what that, you know, Marty and Judy, what they had in their, you know, saved up. They were in a pretty good situation. But without an income plan, they basically is a coin toss, a coin flip, whether or not they'd actually, you know, make it through retirement without any worries. And the changes that it sounds like you would make in that situation aren't significant. Like, really, it's not going to change their life much at all in their day-to-day, right? It's just tweaking a few things, and all of a sudden, you know, you have a very good chance of having a very smooth retirement.
Yeah, it's funny because people do get emotional about, like, Social Security versus their IRA and things, mm-hmm. where money comes from. But really, the way you want to think about it is there's just a black box with all these different resources are inside of it. And it doesn't really matter which one is used, you know, to get you what you need. That's how you should think of it. If they're all being optimized, it's going to benefit you long term, right?
Right.
So if you can block out the emotion that comes with, well, I'm turning my Social Security on right away because whatever, I work
because
for it, or I might die.
I don't want to spend the money I saved, right? Like, oh, that's my money. Well, like Dan's talking about, this is all your money.
Right.
The Social Security is your money. It's your benefit. You paid into it. And this is just maximizing that to help you have a successful plan and a successful retirement.
Yeah. If you can remove some of the emotion. Yeah. It can be hard, though, for sure.
When you throw out that percentage of 84% starting for 52, what is, just on, I guess, generally speaking, what percentage are you shooting for there when you run those simulations?
We like to get up to 90. Yeah. I mean, above 85, which that's really close. Like Brent was saying, it's pretty simple to get there with just some subtle changes after that.
And at one step farther, we're gonna talk about this, so now's as good a time as any.
Yeah.
With this one, we also were able to do, because they had really not a lot of income early on, right? They don't have Social Security, and so we can maximize some tax brackets in this, do some Roth conversions, and by doing that, it reduces their taxes throughout retirement. And we were able to get this family up to around 87-88%.
Yeah.
So that is a super solid plan. So anything 85 and above is like, we call it in the confidence zone, right? You're in a really good spot.
Yeah.
And so we were able to do that with this family and make it work.
Yeah, I love that, because basically what you're talking about, which in this section where we're kind of the next step after we optimize their income, is then to optimize their taxes.
Right.
And so that tax optimization jumped them up another couple percent is what you're saying.
Yes. Gotcha.
And so that's what really is so important to understand. And by not taking Social Security early, by letting that continue to grow, by using some of those pre-tax assets at the lower tax rates and even doing some conversions. What you're saying is those simple things, which again had zero effect on the client.
Right. They still had their same income that they wanted, right? $70,000 plus healthcare one way worked. And so think about, I always like to help people realize you've worked your whole life, right? And you deserve the right to be confident that walking away from your job is the right thing to do. And it gives you the peace of mind to make that decision that you're going to be okay.
Yeah, I think that's so great. And I mean, this episode's so important for peace of mind in retirement, just having confidence. Number one, up front before you retire, yeah. Right? What's my income plan going to look like? Is it working? Or do I need to maybe work another year or two? You know, and then once you are retired, just that confidence that, hey, we can take that trip to Florida each year and, you know, rent the place with our kids or whatever you want to do. And I think it just adds to the quality of life versus staring at your phone all day on the stock market.
Right.
And wondering, oh, the market's down. Am I still going to be able to go to Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody wants to live that way. No question.
No.
Well, that's all been great information today on the podcast. For somebody that maybe opened their eyes a little bit to the importance of developing a retirement income plan, how do you recommend they begin taking those first steps?
Yeah, I mean, I think first of all, our process at Avery Wealth is that we start off and do the portfolio analysis because that's part of it. As Brent noted, really can improve your plan on its own, right? So we want to make sure that those things are right because that's your financial foundation. And once your portfolio is really in good shape, the next step we take here is we put you through that, like Brent said, all the different stress testing with the different resources you have to help you better understand it. So it's kind of a process. And the one thing I would say, Brent and I were talking about this earlier, everybody's different. Like yeah. Just because you're, you know, you could have someone you worked with for 30 years, made the same money, have kind of the same resources. Your two income plans might be completely different based on what your needs are. So, you know, just keep that in mind. But we're always willing to work through that process with listeners and make sure that you're in the best situation for your future.
Very good, guys. Well, I appreciate the information today, as always, here on the Retirement Cafe. Everything can be found online at averywealth.com. If you want to call Dan and Brent over at Avery Wealth directly, you can do so at 517-783-1695. Well, very good. Hopefully, everyone understands the importance of an income plan and takes the steps to make that happen. If not, you might have to worry a little bit in retirement. So take that guessing game out of it, right?
Yeah, absolutely, sure. Ben.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before taking any action. Avery Wealth, Inc. is a registered investment advisory firm.